This is Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast, brought to you by TaylorTalk.org. Hello, Taylor Nation. Welcome to Taylor Talk, episode 79. My name is Adam.
I'm Diane.
And I'm Steve.
Welcome to another week, guys. How are you guys doing?
I'm good.
And yourself, Adam?
Doing well. Have you guys had any Taylor experiences this week? In the last week?
Besides my normal Tumblr and Twitter stalking, no. Not really.
Oh. Okay.
Have you, Adam?
Well, I just had this moment. It's not directly related to Taylor, but I've been listening to the radio station lately.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sounds weird. I listen more often than lately, but I just started paying attention to what the DJs are saying about Taylor Swift, and it's ridiculous. Have you guys, paid attention to how they introduce her when they play
her songs? I've heard different things on different stations, and a lot of it sounds like the whole normal, oh, this is another song that she wrote about a guy that broke her heart, blah, blah, blah. They buy into that whole thing. I mean, at least that's what I've seen.
Apparently, my local country station here in Vegas is more ridiculous than yours, because the guy was saying, he's like, while discussing the Michigan-Notre Dame football game that was this weekend, I don't know how he can possibly tie that to Taylor Swift, but he was talking about the Michigan-Notre Dame football game, and is like, they really seem to be rivals, kind of like Taylor and Kanye. Here, Taylor, I'm going to let you finish, and then started playing Red.
Huh?
I think they're just grasping at straws for creative content, or what they think is creative content.
It really was silly, though.
That's silly.
Other one I heard, when I heard Red another time on the radio, was, this is Taylor Swift, and apparently she likes the color red.
Okay, well, that's better, at least.
No, it's not. They're both terrible. I just thought it was interesting and that I would share. It was a little detail I started paying attention to that I had never noticed before, so. But anyway. Diane.
Yes.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Taylor.
Taylor who?
Who's Taylor Swift anyway?
Ew.
So
they should do that one on the radio. That one would be a lot better.
Yeah, well, that one was submitted to us in an email, actually, from Emily, so I have to give her credit on that. I didn't come up with it myself.
Oh, I figured, because it was funny.
Oh, ouch. Burn.
Ouch, that hurts.
You have a funny joke one of these days, I'm sure, Adam.
I have a lot of funny jokes, Steve. Do you know what one of my funny jokes is? Is the fact that you can never answer a Stump the Host question ever. Should we try one right now? Test you?
Do you have one ready?
Of course I have one ready.
Okay, do it.
All right. Natalia emailed us and asked us this question. Besides Valentine's Day and Hunger Games, what movie did Taylor have a song featured in and what song was it? Anybody?
And this is a movie, right? This isn't TV shows?
Movie.
I mean, is it The Rumor, the Paul Potts movie, The One Chance?
No.
Oh, well, she will get a song in that movie, allegedly.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Okay. I tried. Steve, do you have anything?
No, you stumped me again.
The song Love Story appeared in Letters to Juliet.
Oh, you're right. Yep. I love that movie. What did I think of that?
I've never seen that movie.
Well, that's a very much a chick flick.
Well, it's called Letters to Juliet, I would imagine so.
How am I supposed to know the answer to that kind of stuff? That's a real tough one.
Well, because I think that song was in the trailer for the movie. But, I mean, that came out years ago, 3 years ago or something.
All right. Well, thank you, Natalia, for sending that in, because you stumped our hosts. Good job. So, Diane, what's been going on in the news lately?
Well, Miss Taylor Swift released a behind-the-scenes video on YouTube of her special guest performances at the Staples Center in Los Angeles, California. This is a really cool video, especially if you are not able to watch those shows in person. The 7-minute long video features interviews from her special guests, which include Cheryl Lloyd, Sarah Bareilles, Tegan and Sarah, Ellie Goulding, and J-Lo, as well as clips from the performances themselves. You can check out the video in this week's episode guide at taylortalk.org.
Awesome. Thanks for that, Diane. I actually, something that was interesting to me about this video was it actually did get me hyped up about the guests, because when I heard who her special guests were in LA, I was unimpressed.
How are you unimpressed? Just that it wasn't like the music that you like listening to? Or
yeah, I mean, not a single one of those artists you just listed that joined her in LA include any artist that I actually listened to.
Sarah Bareilles?
Sarah Bareilles is awesome.
Ellie Goulding?
I don't listen to any of them. But this video managed to get me hyped for it, which was pretty cool. And there's always some funny things, like during Tegan and Sarah's performance. If you just look around at the crowd, there's some awkward guy just jumping up and down, like not really knowing what to do or what the words are or anything like that.
There's a lot of jumping up and down. That's one thing I noticed from the, I swear, like every performance, it was like everyone just starts jumping up and down.
Well, I think she says, she's like, everybody jump. And then it's part of the performance.
It always kind of makes me think back to the song that House of Pain put out, you know, the jump around song from way back in the day, like the 90s.
Diane's not going to know that. No, Steve. She's too young.
No, I know that song. And jump around, jump around. Isn't that like that? Yeah. I can't sing, but I do know what you're talking about.
Jump around. Yeah, but it was also kind of funny in the video, too. I don't know if you guys interpret it the same way as me, but Taylor said something about, you know, loving listening to J-Lo when she was a kid.
And yeah.
I was like, way to make J-Lo feel old. I don't think that was her intent, but
well,
I thought it was kind of funny.
Well, just the reality of it. I mean, she's been singing a lot longer than Taylor has.
That's true.
Right. So, in case you guys were curious what's been going on more recently on tour, like last week, let's hand it over to Sammy, who's going to give us our weekly Red Tour recap on behalf of T-Swift on Tour. Sammy?
Hey guys, it's Sammy at SamIM1331 from T-Swift on Tour here with your weekly Red Tour wrap-up. Taylor had a week off before she hit the Midwest for a few Red Tour stops. On Friday, September 6th, she was in Fargo, North Dakota, and the secret song was Speak Now. On Saturday, September 7th, and Sunday, September 8th, Taylor was in St. Paul, Minnesota, where the secret songs were Tell Me Why and Sad, Beautiful, Tragic. Next week starts the final stretch of the Red Tour, starting with Greensboro, North Carolina. That's your weekly Red Tour wrap-up. Bye, guys. See you next week.
All right, thank you for that, Sammy. Remember, guys, if you are looking for down-to-the-minute tour updates to know exactly what is going on the Red Tour as it's happening, be sure to go follow at T-Swift on Tour on Twitter. Moving on to our main discussion, we got an email from a listener who has emailed us many times before, and we appreciate it. So thank you, Nozomi, for emailing this to us. Nozomi's email reads, "We've seen how over the years Taylor has been very systematic in her album work. Albums have always come out on even years, Taylor Swift in 06, Fearless 08, Speak Now 2010, and Red in 2012. And then tours, on the other hand, have started in odd years. And then the odd album content, such as the Taylor Swift Deluxe and Fearless Platinum and things like that, are also on odd years. So her question for us, which I'd like to present to you guys now, my panelists, is, will Taylor release a Red Platinum edition this year? Maybe a Red World Tour Live, or both? What do you guys think?
I mean, I think from what we've seen in the past, she will release some sort of new content this year. I'm kind of leaning towards like another tour type of video, just because that's what she did in 2011. And I don't know. Like, I just feel like that her Red Tour this year has been so big and she's been so proud of it that I think she'd want to be able to share that tour with people who weren't able to go to the show. So, I mean, that's just kind of what I think. I think we'll get some tour footage and maybe some live recordings of the concerts.
I'm sure you're right. That's probably to be expected. But when I first read this question, you know, it refers to Taylor's system, mm-hmm. you know, her even year, odd year system and things like that. So I started trying to look for patterns. And you have Taylor Swift album, which was released October 06, and then the deluxe version of that in November 07, roughly a year later, 1 year, or what, 13 months later?
Yeah. Hey,
13 months. Then Fearless and Fearless Platinum were released about a year apart. However, the pattern then changes. And when she got to Speak Now, the Speak Now and Speak Now deluxe editions were released on the same day.
Yeah, which is what she did last year with Red.
Right.
It was released on the same day, too. So that's why I was thinking we would get some sort of tour content, because that's what she did in 2011. She released her Speak Now World Tour Live CD-DVD package.
Exactly, which is why I think if we're going to model it after her past patterns, I think Red is more closely resembling what she did with Speak Now, mm-hmm. more so than those early albums that had an additional album with additional content released a year later. I don't know if she's going to do that, because according to the pattern of Taylor Swift and Fearless, that should have happened already, or be happening right now.
Or like they would have announced it, right? Like it would be coming out for next month.
Yeah, but like I said, I mean, and then if you go beyond that, Speak Now also had a vinyl version,
mm-hmm.
and Red also has a vinyl. So I think Red much more closely resembles Speak Now than the early album. Steve, do you have an opinion? You've been sitting there quiet.
I've been thinking about it a little bit there. It would make sense for her to have some sort of, you know, something to kind of even tie us over until the next album gets released, you know, probably in another, what was it, going to be about a year now or so before we get the next album. I would say something along the lines of that to kind of just keep us, you know, informed of the stuff that we saw during the shows. And I was checking some Twitter stuff because there was some interesting stuff out there, because that's a popular question that gets asked to Scott Borchetta, and he's not given any true answers, at least from what I can tell. Usually just like someone says, is there going to be, you know, a Red Platinum Edition or something like that, and you know, he responds, good question, with a smiley face. So, you know, he's definitely not saying if he does know. You would think that Taylor would do something, though, to kind of, you know, tide us over until the next album.
Right. I'm sure there's going to be some content at some point, but I don't know if she'll be necessarily following her past trend of, like, a Platinum Edition coming out a year later. Although, as Nozomi went on to say in her email, there have been rumors on Tumblr that Taylor will indeed release a Red Platinum Edition this November/December, featuring two new duets with Ed Sheeran and Adam Levine, as well as the original 10-minute version of All Too Well, amongst other new content and deluxe album content. So, I mean, I think there's a few things we can address in there. Specifically, those two duets with Ed Sheeran, we know those exist because Ed Sheeran has said they exist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He has said that.
Whether they've recorded it in a studio or it's just something they kind of wrote together or what the details of it are, we don't know. But Ed Sheeran said those exist. So, I mean, that could be the basis for a rumor, but that doesn't necessarily confirm that it's going to be released on a new Platinum Edition album.
Well, Adam, that does make sense, especially even to fuel the rumors, if you will, because I know that on Tumblr there's been images even that have shown what songs that are supposedly on this Red Platinum Edition.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, do they look good or do they look photoshopped?
They look kind of legit. It's hard to say. There is one thing, and actually Diane was the one that figured it out. The one image that they show, there is two track number 18s on the list.
Yeah, so that doesn't seem legit at all, does it? Unless they've just made a mistake, but I mean, it's not a very smart mistake.
True.
It's a poor Photoshop job.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, the one thing that was interesting was the UPC codes that are unique and on the back of every CD or pretty much any product you buy. That number that it shows on there doesn't actually come up as a real UPC, so maybe it is true, though. It's hard to say.
If it doesn't come up as a real one,
but that
I mean,
means
what's
it
that mean?
Hasn't
Does it
been
mean they
released,
haven't registered
though.
It yet?
Exactly. Or they, you know, it's not in the databases yet.
Hmm.
That's a little bit of nerd speak there, I guess, right?
Yeah, that code, just for people who don't speak nerd, that's on the barcode, right?
Yeah, it's the barcode on the back.
Okay, just clarifying.
It's when you go to check out at a store, you know, and they scan it, that's what they're scanning.
Okay.
But every one of those is unique for each individual product in the entire world. That's what's pretty impressive about it.
Let's talk about this original 10-minute version of All Too Well. What are the odds of that being on this alleged Platinum Edition?
I think that's wishful thinking on the part of a lot of fans.
Like, I think you're right.
I just can't see Taylor letting people listen to her, like, sob story diary entry that would be the 10-minute version of that song. You know, like, it just, I'm not sure it's as well-written as fans think it would be, you know, because, I mean, it was just 10 minutes and she was rehashing all of this stuff that happened with this guy, and I don't know. I just don't think it's going to happen.
You know, I tend to agree with you, Diane, that it is wishful thinking more than anything, because I feel like the 10-minute version of All Too Well is more like Taylor's diary. It was never intended to be distributed.
Yeah.
So something interesting I did dig up, however, though, was going all the way back to the live web chat last summer before the Red release, when she announced We Are Never Getting Back Together as the single and Red as the name of the album and things like that. Taylor also revealed that she wrote more than 30 songs for the album, which she included 16 of them for in the actual album. So
half of them aren't even on there.
Right. Now, a couple of them did make it onto the deluxe edition right from the get-go. You know, you've got The Moment I Knew, Come Back, Be Here, and Girl at Home. So there's three songs that are immediately on that deluxe edition.
So then there's 11 left.
There's still, yeah, like you said, quite a few of them left. Well, she said more than 30 songs, so there's more than 11 left.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know, naturally this is all speculation, but that is evidence in favor of her potentially releasing a platinum edition.
If you've taken the time to write the songs and they're deemed good enough to be released, you might as well release them, right?
Maybe, unless she feels like those songs are, like, I don't know, not part of her life anymore, you know, because she wrote them maybe, like, even as far back as 2 years ago, so she might not... I guess maybe feel as attached to those songs as she might songs that she's written more recently.
Well, one of the things that I noticed is this is coming from the Wikipedia page in terms of the Platinum Edition for Fearless.
Mm-hmm.
I believe some of the songs that were on that were actually, she was thinking originally to put them on Speak Now, and then it was like, you know what? This kind of actually ties more into what should be on like the Fearless album than what I'm thinking for, you know, kind of the concept of the Speak Now album. So that was the reason, supposedly, that they put them on and made the Platinum Edition versus putting them on the new Speak Now album when it was coming out.
Well, I read that also, Steve, but again, Wikipedia is so unreliable.
It makes sense, though.
Yeah, it does make sense. Like, the songs that she put on that version, I don't think they would make sense on Speak Now.
No, you're right. And you know what? I get some of my facts from Wikipedia as well, which is why, speaking of the point I was just trying to make about the 30 plus songs, you know, something specific I noticed about that, and I'm basing this on Wikipedia being right, which I'd have to go back and watch the actual web chat to verify, is it says she wrote more than 30 songs for the album. Now, a lot of her songs she writes, from what I understand, are not necessarily specifically for an album. They're just, she's writing as she's feeling, because she's just always writing.
Mm-hmm.
So it could even be for a future album, technically.
She can use it wherever she wants. I mean, there's tons and tons of songs she's written that we don't even know exist, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I mean, from what I understand from past interviews, she writes more than twice the number of songs that actually make it onto an album, per album.
Which I think is what you should be doing anyhow. I think, like, heck, when I use my digital camera and I take pictures, I usually take at least two or three pictures of whatever I'm trying to take a picture of, because usually one's blurry and then the other one might not be totally straight and then the third one works out. So it's good to do a couple of different ones.
It's true. Take one, take two, take three.
Exactly.
You've got to make sure you get it right.
Yep.
So following on with Nozomi's email, this was a long one. She said, as a follow-up question to my earlier message, which would you guys prefer? A new tour CD DVD like Journey to Fearless and Speak Now World Tour Live with lots of live tour content but no new studio content? Or would you like to see a platinum edition like we've been talking about?
With more songs on it?
With additional studio content, yeah.
Gotcha. Well, I would always love to see more songs from her, but I don't know how realistic that expectation is. But I would not say no to new Taylor songs.
Now, something I would like to point out, however, is we can't look to the past for patterns on live DVDs, because Journey to Fearless wasn't actually a tour DVD the way the Speak Now World Tour Live is. That was a three-part TV series, and that's more biographical than anything. It's like a Taylor Swift documentary mixed in with live performances from the Fearless tour, where the Speak Now World Tour live DVD is just, I mean, that's
it. It's like straight tour.
You start it, and it starts with Sparks Fly and Taylor coming up from the stage and goes straight through the tour, song after song. There's no commentary in between.
Yeah.
So we really have no pattern to base it off of with that.
And plus, you know, Taylor always seems to mix it up. As soon as we think we have something figured out, she goes and does something totally different.
Well, what she hasn't done yet is she hasn't done a tour movie in theaters. And a lot of people do that.
Ooh, that's a good point.
Yeah, Katy Perry has it. Justin Bieber has
it. One
Direction's doing it now.
Yeah, so, I mean, maybe we can see the Red Tour in theaters.
Wow. I like this idea, Diane.
That would be a great idea. So, just a random question I wanted to throw in for you guys as well is what would you like to see on a tour DVD or an upcoming movie or a video or something like that?
I want to see, you know, plus like the, you know, the tour and all the show stuff and whatnot. But I also want to see her like actually in the process of, you know, like writing songs and, you know, the, her, like her whole process of like how she got there or how she penned like Red or whatever. And, just kind of like the process of how it all came together, I think would be cool. Like some behind the scenes stuff.
I think I know what you're getting at, Diane, because I think behind the scenes would be far more interesting than even another tour DVD. Because
yeah.
I'm not going to lie. This morning I rewatched, Journey to Fearless and the Speak Now World Tour live. And I found Journey to Fearless to be far more compelling and interesting than the Speak Now was, because I went to the Speak Now concert, and I mean, if I'm being quite realistic, every minute of every one of her tours is on YouTube.
Pretty much.
You know what I mean?
And plus, it's not the same as, you know, when you're there, it's a different experience, and then when you watch the tour online or on the computer or whatever, it's actually
slightly boring.
Yeah, you just feel very separated from it.
But, I mean, that's why I would like to see exclusive content, because that's what I find most interesting, you know. And on the Speak Now World Tour DVD, you know, it does have exclusive content as the bonus content, but the main show is the Speak Now World Tour. And I found the bonus material to be far more compelling and interesting. It was, you know, the rehearsals for the Speak Now tour, for example. And that was really neat to see Taylor up on stage in street clothes instead of her costumes and talking to her band and talking to the dancers and coaching her entire team and giving pep talks and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Adam, prime example of that is actually what we started this whole episode with, is talking about what they released on YouTube there with what happened at the Staples Center. I mean, we saw all the clips. If we weren't at the show, we saw all the clips on YouTube. Here's J-Lo performing. Here's Sarah Bareilles performing. But we didn't get any of that good content of, you know, like, hey, here I'm, you know, talking to Ellie Goulding. Here's what she's saying about, you know, how glad she was to be on stage with Taylor and that kind of stuff. And that part, they could totally package those pieces that they already have and create one whole performance out of that and put it on, you know, a DVD or something like that, or put it in theaters, even better.
Right. So that being said, let's take it back to Nozomi's question, and I'll ask you guys again, what would you rather see, new studio content or a DVD?
Well, I would rather see new studio content, but like I said before, I don't think that's going to happen. So I would be excited about a new movie.
Steve?
If it was a movie that was in theaters with a lot of behind-the-scenes content, I would go that way. Otherwise, I would go for more new songs.
Adam, do you have a preference?
It's such a hard
decision.
He
agrees with me.
No, I would really like to see behind-the-scenes footage if it's well-executed. Otherwise, new studio content would be far more valuable, in my opinion. But, I mean, even, you know, man, that's a tough question. You know, and it makes it even tougher because historically a lot of the stuff is packaged together anyway. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like the music and the DVDs, like the Platinum Editions did include video footage and DVDs. I think the, what was it? Was it the Fearless Platinum that had a DVD also? Or was it both Platinums? Both Platinums had DVDs with the music videos and some behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. Right.
Like, if they package it together, like that new studio content and tour footage and behind the scenes footage, I think that's the best of both worlds. And I think that's what they would have the best or the most success with, rather.
But putting it in theaters, that would be the best.
That would be cool. Have it in 3D.
Wouldn't it be cool to like dress up like we normally do for a show and go to the theaters and watch Taylor Swift on the big screen?
Have it be much cheaper than seeing it in person.
Having like a midnight release, Steve, like midnight release parties all over the country.
Exactly. That'd be so cool. That'd be cool.
That would be really cool. But I mean, that's been going around. Fans have been talking about that. I'm sure it's going to happen at some point or another.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't misinterpret that to mean like, oh, Adam from Taylor Talk has more information than I do. He knows it's going to happen. No.
Well, the thing is, though, is I think if it did happen, the movie would be released maybe in like June, because we would have had to see ads for the movie now if it was going to come out in, say, like 2 months. You know what I mean?
That's true. It's not in the works. I think it's far more likely that there's going to be some sort of, like, if I had to take Nozomi's whole email and sum up my one opinion on it, I think the most likely option is that there's going to be a Red Tour DVD. Reason being is because we know they've already taken tons of video footage because they used it recently. What was that for that they used it?
It's some, like, 4th of July thing, right?
That's right. It was the 4th of July thing. They used footage. So they actually have had professional cameramen out there. You know, and the cameras they use to put Taylor on the big screen so the people at the top can see her better and things like that, I don't know if those cameras record or not, but they very well might.
I'm sure all of it's recorded. I don't see why it wouldn't be.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying, is they already have it in their means to do a tour DVD. I just really hope they make it more like, not Journey to Fearless in the sense that it's a biography documentary, but kind of like a hybrid of the two, where it shows the whole Red show, but maybe like after, what song does she open with? I'm drawing a blank.
She opens with State of Grace.
State of Grace. So maybe after they show State of Grace opening, then they cut to some behind the scenes stuff. What went into putting that act together on stage? You know, what happens backstage? Things like that. Then play the next song and then have another break. Something like that is what I would like to see.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
So any last thoughts on this before we wrap it up, guys? I'm just trying to figure out if we answered all of Nozomi's questions, because that was a very in-depth email. So
yeah, it was long.
We attacked the systematic approach of her albums, the release dates and things like that, and came, I think at least I came to the conclusion that Red is far more in line with Speak Now rather than the first two, which actually acts in favor of there not being a platinum edition this year.
Well, I think her main question was, will she put out new content? And I think she will in some form. She's not going to skip this year, right? Like something's going to happen?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's a good, I think that's a fair assessment, Diane.
Yeah.
I think that pretty much sums up the question. I mean, we also attacked some of those rumors about the Ed Sheeran duets, which are quite possible because they exist somewhere. 10 minutes of All Too Well, probably not so much, right?
No.
And then tour DVD versus new studio content. I think there's going to be a hybrid of the two, more likely than not.
And we may hear about it right, you know, close to the end of the tour, because the tour, at least the U.S. leg, will be ending here just in, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Yep.
And then I think she's got, like, what, like 2 months off from touring?
Roughly 2 months. Yeah, it starts up again November 29th. It ends September 22nd in Nashville and then starts up again November 29th in New Zealand.
Yeah, so, I mean, she could use that time to work on something special.
Or she could use that time to, like, sleep.
No, Taylor doesn't do that.
Taylor doesn't sleep. She's always working.
24/7.
Work, work, work. You're our slave, Taylor. We need new content. In all fairness, though, Diane, keeping to the pattern, talking about these patterns again, it's likely that we're to expect another album around this time next year.
Yeah.
2014. And she'll likely be using free time to work on that, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
That's what I would
guess. Probably.
So thank you for that email, Nozomi. Like that, I think we got a good conversation out of that. I really enjoyed talking to you guys, seeing what you guys thought about it.
Yeah,
see what
that's
your
cool.
opinions are. Just a reminder to everybody, this is all speculation. We don't have any inside information that you guys do not have. We're just guessing. Well, educated guesses.
Educated's important.
Educated guesses based on the past, yep. Not just pulling stuff out of our bums.
Nope.
So Steve, what's the first mini segment submission we got this episode?
All right. The first one comes from Tibet Angel on Twitter, and it's, you know, you're a Swiftie when you're listening to Taylor talk while doing your homework because you would rather have bad grades than miss out on Taylor's news.
I don't encourage slacking in school.
I don't but I can't.
I do encourage keeping up with Taylor news.
Yes. And listening to Taylor talk.
That too. Thank you, Steve.
Yep.
This next one comes from Cindy _ Mailot on Twitter. And they say, you know you're a Swiftie when you smile when you see a 13.
Aww.
Nice.
Next one was emailed to us by Yesenia, who said, you know you're Swiftie when you and your brother fight for who has the best Taylor Swift background. Issue still not resolved. That's funny.
Nice.
Hey, at least you got two Swifties in the family. I'm the only one in mine, so.
Me too, really, so don't worry about it.
No, you went to see Taylor with your sister, Diane.
Yeah, that's... but I mean, she's not like a rabid Taylor Swift fan. She likes her music, but she's not like me. She's not on a Taylor Swift podcast. She doesn't.
I know, you nerd. What are you doing on a Taylor Swift podcast?
I don't know. I need friends.
So, Yesenia, keep us updated when you and your brother get this fight resolved.
Okay, and the next one comes from Twitter from Mexico Needs Red. And it's, you know you're a Swiftie when you travel from Mexico to New York City just to see her in concert and breathing the same air as Tay.
Well, if you already saw her in New York, why does Mexico need red? No, I'm kidding.
So other people can see it, Adam?
Right.
That was a joke, but that is dedication.
Yeah, that's that far. She should have just come to California. It's closer.
What? Oh, yeah?
She should have come
to LA. Doesn't that depend on where in Mexico?
Well, I mean, no matter where you are in Mexico, it's still closer to California than New York.
I guess.
But New York City is quite the adventure. It's worth coming out to the East Coast. All you West Coasters, you know. Come out to the East Coast. It's cool.
Is it cool, Steve?
Well, it's not as laid back as it is out, you know, on your coast. But it's still fun. It's very interesting. I enjoy it. Especially New York City is a great place.
Yeah, I love New York. This next one comes from Emily Pomeroy 13 on Twitter. And they say, you know you're Swiftie when your teacher's taking attendance and says, Emily, who likes Taylor Swift?
That's actually kind of funny because... this Emily is different than the Emily who submitted the knock-knock joke that I told earlier in the show. You guys remember that Emily?
Mm-hmm.
However, if I identified them by Emily who likes Taylor Swift, I still would not be able to differentiate the two.
This is a good point.
So, that's actually kind of a funny submission, though. I like that because it's just interesting that that happened in an episode where we had two Emilys submit something. All right. Next one, Shannon emailed us and said, you know you're Swiftie when you decide that when you get a car, you're going to get a whole new set of Taylor's albums just for the car.
Hmm.
Are you also going to get like a Taylor Swift license plate frame and name the car Taylor and then
get a red
put a Taylor decal on the back window?
That'd be cool.
Or name your car Meredith.
Aww.
All right, the next one comes from Do You See It Now 13 on Twitter, and it's, you know you're a Swiftie when you have nightmares about Taylor hating you.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Have you ever had those before?
Yeah. Well, do you know what's funny, Steve, is I haven't had that nightmare, but I have this awful recurring nightmare, and yes, it is recurring. This has happened several times, where in my dream, I'm getting ready to go to a Taylor Swift concert, only to realize that I forgot to charge my camera. And it really, within the dream, it really stresses me out. Like, it really upsets me.
That sounds like your real life plans, you know, because you always freak out about the camera and if it's charged and the battery and...
Spring an extra battery. You're good.
I have two batteries, Steve. I make sure they're both charged because I go through both of them at Taylor concerts.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's just funny because I have also had nightmares about Taylor. Not hating me, but nightmares about Taylor nonetheless. So thank you for everyone who submitted those. Remember, keep them coming, guys. I would love to hear more submissions from you. Next mini-segment for the episode, what are Swifties listening to? So, Diane, why don't you tell us what Swifties are listening to this week?
Well, SunShower13 on Twitter says that Swifties are listening to Delta Goodrem. And they say she's an Australian singer-songwriter. A lot of Australian Swifties also listen to her. She is an inspirational cancer survivor, and she lives in the U.S. at the moment and has released some songs here. And they say that we should listen to the songs Born to Try and Child of the Universe.
Have you guys listened to these?
I listened to both of those songs, and she's really good. She sounds almost country, but almost not at the same time. It's a very interesting hybrid. But she's a great singer.
Huh. I'm going to have to check her out. So Delta Goodrem is the name?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. And also, shout out to Australian Swifties. Love you guys. Sorry, I had to throw that in. I've been wanting to give our Aussie friends over there like a shout out for quite a while because, well, not quite a while, but you guys remember Taylor who joined us a couple episodes ago when she was in Vegas from Australia?
Yeah, not the Swift, the different Taylor.
No, that was not Taylor Swift from Australia. But anyway, so as a lot of you probably know, the Taylor Talk t-shirts are only available for U.S. shipment because unfortunately to ship them internationally is way, 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 way too expensive. Now, we had some Aussie friends who were not satisfied with my excuses I made for not shipping internationally. So they actually banded together and they all bought the t-shirts and had Taylor pick them up when she was here in Vegas and bring them back and then distribute them throughout Australia. So nice. I thought that was really cool.
I know. It was so nice.
That's cool.
That was cool. And of course, for U.S. people, there are more Taylor Talk shirts available at taylortalk.org/store. So go check them out. Go buy them. They're fun. There's only two extra larges left. So if you're an extra large, I'd get on it fast.
Only two
very
left.
Fast. Two. Dos. How many languages can we say two in? I got dos.
I got deux. That's French.
Steve?
Two? I got English.
That's kind of funny. So I heard a joke recently that I'm going to share with you guys that has nothing to do with Taylor, but I just thought of it right now because of Steve. Steve.
Yes.
What do you call somebody who speaks three languages?
I don't know, Adam.
No, like, what's the word for it?
Oh, it's trilingual.
Okay. What do you call someone who speaks two languages?
Bilingual.
Bilingual.
What do you call someone who speaks one language?
Lingual.
You know?
American.
Oh, nice.
I thought it was pretty funny.
That is painfully true.
Yeah. It's sad but true. We don't speak very many languages here in the U.S. where I feel like globally people are more inclined to speak multiple languages.
Yeah, we suck.
It's kind of like not adopting the metric system.
Yeah, right? Trying to be different. Only speaking one language, using weird measurements.
Yeah, we just suck at everything, I guess, in the U.S. We did produce Taylor Swift, though, so that counts for something. She's bored of this country. Counts for something,
we can
right?
claim her as our own.
She's ours. You guys can't have her.
Except I'm sure she only speaks one language and also loves not using the metric system.
Although, since we're on a tangent talking about Taylor, I do admire how on the last tour or last, you know, whenever she's been international, how she does or has in the past at least made efforts to learn something in the native language of that country.
Yeah. Yeah. That is That's really cool. Nice of her to at least be able to say thank you in their language.
Right.
Exactly. So thank you again to everybody who submitted to this episode. It's greatly appreciated. Remember, guys, if you want to submit content, there's all different kinds of ways to do it. You can email us, taylortalk@taylorswift13.org. You can tweet us, Facebook us, Taylor Connect us all to Taylor Talk 13. Ask FM is also Taylor Talk 13, but I wanted to single this one out from the other three because we're going to be doing something very special with those questions soon. So if you have questions to ask, ask.fm/Taylor Talk 13. Also, you guys can leave us a voicemail, area code 240-31-SWIFT, or text message the same number. Or you could leave us a voicemail directly on the website, taylortalk.org. Remember, guys, if you love us, rate us, taylortalk.org/iTunes. You can visit that, give us a nice rating, tell us how much you're enjoying the show or how much you hate it, although I'd prefer you didn't.
No, don't tell them. Don't make them leave bad comments. I only want 5 stars.
5-star comments.
5-star comments. If you want to leave honest reviews, there's a survey on taylortalk.org. Only leave nice things on iTunes, though. Leave the mean things on the survey. So thank you to my host for joining me this week for episode 79. This has been Adam,
Diane,
and Steve
saying goodbye, and we will see you next week.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Bye.
This podcast is not directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.